RSN Central. Greenlight on with Dan Malecki.
Hello to you, Dan Malecki. It's a very good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Gareth.
And of course, Dan Malecki and Greenlight on is brought to you by
Lowalong Farms and Melton Saddlery, and it's great to have their support. Lowalong Farms are making a real name in the breeding industry in Victoria. Their stallion lineup is world-class, Gareth, including Poster Boy and Soho Tribeca, both from Australian Broodmares of the Year, and both eligible for the VicBred Pure first win bonus of $12,000. Melmara, the high-flying US import with the speed pedigree, the world's fastest pacer, Lather Up, the globe-trotting square gator, Speeding Spur, Shuttle Star, American Ideal, and Pastor Stephen, the proven sire whose book is filling fast, and top-class trot sire, Bacardi Lindy. Remember the name, Lowalong Farms, part of Northern Rivers Equine. The stallions, news, video links, social links, and more are at nrequine.com.au. And, of course, it's great to have Melton Saddlery as part of the show as well. The team have been involved for over 30 years. Pauline, who is obviously still in her younger years as such, but has served the harness racing industry over that time for the equestrian sports as well, and they have the best brands from around the world at competitive prices, even the hard-to-get items. Riding and racing gear. They've also got trots racing apparel, all your supplements and vet supplies and rugs for all seasons. Melton Saddlery for all your equine needs. You'll find them on the web at meltonsaddlery.com.au, and they're open 6 days a week in the main Melton Shopping Centre at 79 Unit Street. To place an internet order, shoot an email to hello@meltonsaddlery.com.au, Gareth.
Good on you, Dan. Looking forward to Greenlight on today. The CEO of HRV, Dale Brown, will be joining us, as we mentioned at the top of the show. He's got a couple of exciting new announcements, which involves the trotters, of course. So some big news coming harness racing's way in this state anyway regarding some prize money increases. And we'll also recap Breeders' Crown weekend. Did you enjoy it, Dan? There was plenty of highlights.
Oh, look, it's got to be one of the most enjoyable nights that I've been a part of. It certainly was the best Breeders' Crown night, I think, by far. But it's going to pose a little problem going forward, or maybe it's a good problem to have. Breeders' Crown, I thought, was dying and was closer to being on the way out. Well, it's stronger than ever. But does that now put more emphasis and pressure on the VicBred? Because with the structure of the three-year-old races in particular, you got Derby, which Acknow won, and then the Breeders' Crown, which Acknow won. Will he still be there New Year's Eve? Potentially, but Catch a Wave won't be. So going forward, if any of the races are going to be missed out on by horses, it may well be the VicBred now, because it's a different time of the year, and the VicBred used to be before the Breeders' Crown. So it might have to be something that is looked at and might be acceptable, but it might be something that has to be looked at.
We might ask Dale Brown that very question. Dale Brown joins Gareth Hall and Dan Malecki now, the CEO of Harness Racing Victoria, on Greenlight On with a couple of exciting announcements. Good afternoon to you, Dale.
Good afternoon, Gareth. Good afternoon, Dan. Great to be with you.
First of all, the trotters, the country cups in the trotting, on the trotting circuit in this state, there's always been a little bit of a gap, and some say too big of a gap, between the pacing and the trotting cups, but that's about to change because there's been a prize money increase you're about to announce for us here today, Dale.
Absolutely, Gareth and Dan. And the strength of our trotting ranks just keeps growing, and the wonderful trotters we've got going around at the moment, it's never been as strong as it's been now. And it became evident that there was disparity between some of the trotting country cups and the pacing cups. And Geelong was an interesting one, because Geelong was still at 14.5 and the pacing cup was at $60,000. So the racing team went away and did a bit of an analysis and came back with some modelling and to increase these country cups for trotters, where there's a disparity between the pacing cup and the trotting cup. And we're happy to announce today almost 98,000 uplift in trotters cups, and a lot of the 14.5s will go to 20. And for instance, the Geelong trotting cup will go from 14.5 to 25,000. So there's some significant uplift in some of those cups, which is terrific for our industry. And supporting the great work that the Victorian Square Trotters Association are doing. And we have collaborative meetings with them bi-monthly, Stephen Bell and myself, and we're looking to enhance the trotting gate across the board from the people who are the people just have a couple in the backyard and they're the hobbyists right through the professional level and trying to ensure that we give an opportunity to the gate at all levels. So it's a terrific announcement today that HRV is making.
And that's spread out through the year. That's a good thing with the Country Cups, but that incorporates 9 of the 12 months where we've got feature Country Cup trotting races. So that's terrific. That's all the way through and at all the regional venues as well, Dale. Virtually every track is incorporated into this. Not every track has got a rise in prize money. I think some of them had a respectable level beforehand, but I think there's only about six that probably miss out. The rest of them are all of a minimum of $5,000 increase.
Yeah, that's right, Dan. It's related to the difference between the Trotting Cup and the Pacing Cup, where there's not a lot of difference. Didn't have to be an adjustment to make at this point in time, but where the disparity was such that the Pacing Cup was so far ahead of the Trotting Cup, it just made absolute sense to bring these Trotting Cups up to ensure that we recognise the strength of the breed and strength of the cohort of trotters we've got going around in Victoria at the moment.
Dale, is there much difference between the turnover figures between the trotters and the pacers these days?
Look, the trotters are definitely improving, Gareth, and they're definitely on the way. And they hold that up at times as there are a lot of difference in the turnover. I mean, it will vary from venue to venue and time of the year and race meeting, but the trotters certainly, their turnover is certainly on the up from a general perspective. There's no doubt about that.
And it should be too, because it's the most notable thing, I reckon, in harness racing, particularly over the last 20 years. The breed's definitely improved. The trotters are running times that nobody thought they could possibly run here in Australia, and they're still getting lower and lower. And they're more reliable. There's no doubt at all. When you look up the feature race, you go to a Breeders' Crown meeting, you know, with the young trotters, 2 and 3 year olds from 15 years ago. And over the course of the four finals, there might be 15 horses that would gallop. The occasion's too big for them. Last weekend, you know, I think one or two may have, if that. Yes. They're far more reliable, they're better, and they deserve to have that increased prize money.
But they do, Dan. And we use that term in racing, you know, for trotters, young trotters, are they bomb-proof? And certainly a lot of them are very, very bomb-proof these days. They can trot from a lot earlier age, and their gait's so much better. And in the last 15 to 20 years from when I was stewarding back in the mid to late 90s, the trotting breed has improved immensely. And also, we were recognising that, and on the 4th and 5th of February for our Summer of Glory, as we know, we got the Great Southern Star back into its original format on the Friday night, then followed by the Hunter Cup on the Saturday night. Both those meetings will be live, free-to-air on 7. So we think the Great Southern Star with the heats, the barrier draw, the final. It was great theatre last year, and I think it will make for great TV this year. So we're looking forward to showcasing that in the new year over the Summer of Glory.
So how many race meetings will be shown on Channel 7 now with Harness Racing Victoria?
Well, next we'll do two, Gareth. Yep. So we'll do the Great Southern Star, and then we'll do the Hunter Cup. I think going forward, as we expand our reach with Trot's Vision and our media strategy, we'll look to run a lot more of our majors on free-to-air. I think what we're doing at the moment is where last year we did New Year's Eve to see how that went, and this year we're going to do two in a row, so we'll do the Friday and Saturday night out at Melton.
Dale, you mentioned the Trot's Vision. Sorry, Gareth, but I guess Gareth and myself both come across all three codes in various areas. So we've got a lot of people that we know, friends, acquaintances, colleagues for that matter. And I'm really proud of the amount of people that get in touch with myself. And I talk to Gareth, it's exactly the same with Gareth. We've got a lot of Gallops people, and we're talking almost 100% Gallops people and 100% Greyhound people that are watching Trot's Vision now and are enjoying it. So is that reflective in the figures that you are getting, the eyes that are on this particular medium that we've got now, Trot's Vision?
It is, Dan. As you know, we've got the Bright Cove engine we've introduced into the back end of Trot's Vision, which is the same engine that drives racing.com. So the way we get our stats and the way we can now divide the channel and make it sort of a multi-dimensional way the consumer can watch different things. We're building that out at the moment. We're looking at telemetry and sectional timing coming into play in the next couple of weeks, which will give another dynamic two trots vision. But we're seeing the audience grow and grow. And as I said, and I mentioned on Saturday night when I was talking to the people upstairs at the Breeders' Crown, that the demographic from the 18 to 35s is up 250% in the last 12 months. That's enormous. And you look at the numbers from the New Year's Eve, to give you an example, when we did the live on 7Mate, it was about 28,000 people watching on 7Mate and 5,000 people watching on Trots Vision Unique Views. They're big numbers for a digital platform on a very, very low budget. And the way we're building it out and the way we're getting the reach to people and the way we're utilising this sort of type of entity is really great for the future, because what we're doing is we're also educating a new audience. And the people that are watching us, you know, those 18 to 35s that weren't necessarily consuming the harness racing product initially are coming across. And the Trots Vision, given the way we've got the people on there, your commentary, Dan, the experts from the industry talking about gear, what horses do, and Gareth's interviews, that's informing people, and that's why they're watching, because they're getting a front-to-end commentary and coverage of the whole night, which the other entities are wall-to-wall. So this is why it stands alone as such a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for Harness to showcase that product.
What was the turnover like for your Breeders' Crown meeting there on Saturday, Dale?
Comparable to last year, Gareth. It'll look like with international, we're up at that $6.5 million. So we're still seeing strong turnover numbers. We're still seeing them during the week on our week racing. So we're pretty pleased that, you know, now that we're opening up, there hasn't been that complete falling off a cliff. We'll probably see, you know, some softening. But if we can keep, as I've said before, 50% of the upside, we'll be doing very, very well going into the future. And that's why these things we're doing, like Trots Vision, to reach these audience, engage people, is very, very important. That's why racing.com was set up, to engage people, to get people interested in the sport. That's why Trots Vision is so critical.
I just mentioned to Gareth before, the Breeders' Crown, in my mind, it was dying. Mm-hmm. You know, it needed watering a few years ago. This year, without question, I don't think you'd get an argument from anybody that could possibly say it wasn't the best Breeders' Crown carnival and race meeting that we've had. It's one of the finest race meetings we've had, full stop. Where it sits now, second year in November, and the Vic Red, which was massive New Year's Eve last year. Now, I know it might be too early to make a call, but I wonder now, does the Breeders' Crown usurp Vic Red for being the best night? In my mind, the Vic Red was the best night. I'm not so sure anymore, and I just wonder whether three-year-olds can have the bites at the cherry through, you know, Act Now would be the perfect case. Now, I'm not sure if he's going to the Vic Red. He may well be, but it's probably going to be the lesser of the three main targets. And going forward, whether or not we want that for the Vic Red or not, Catch a Wave's not going there. So it might be food for thought, something to talk about. Is there any initial idea of the setup of these two race series going forward?
It's a great problem to have in some respects, Dan, because I remember when we were all talking 2 years ago and we first started, the calendar was all really much in patchwork and there was no symmetry to the calendar. And when we had COVID hit, we really turned it on its head. So we really created an event at a certain part of the year for harness race. And we brought the Vic Cup in with the Derby and the Oaks. We flipped the Breeders' Crown into November to give it some life. And then we also did that with the Vic Bread, taking it out of winter to give it a summer feel as an intersection into the summer of glory. And last year was terrific. And, yeah, we were in and out of lockdown. And this year will be the litmus test. We'll need to look at all this, because reading a lot of people's views on this, people are saying, well, why don't you now put the Vic Bread in November and put the Breeders' Crown on at the back end of December? What can you do? So I think we'll just let this go and play out this season. Let's have a review. I think now we've got a calendar that's really in the conversation. We've got some terrific horses going around. As you've just touched on, some of these young horses that are going around, they are absolute potential superstars of the future. And there's not just one or two. And this is, we're in such a wonderful period at the moment that going forward, we just need to make sure that we're catering for these horses and that we can see the best horses go around at these best feature meetings. So I think you're right. I think we run the season as we do now and probably have a bit of a debrief and review after Summer of Glory.
Yeah, I think all of the state bodies should nearly conduct their Vic Bred or their New South Wales Breeders Series or the Western Australian their breeding series. I think it's West Speed or whatever they call it these days, or the Q Bred at the same time, and then we can have the Breeders' Crown, sort of like the finale where we try and get the best from Australasia to turn up to compete and have different horses from different states arrive as well.
Yeah, you're right, Gareth. The great thing about this is it's back in the conversation.
Yeah.
2 years ago, as you said, Dan, it was dead. It was, they were wondering if they were ever going to run it again. We're back in the conversation. It's relevant again. A lot of interest. Great horses going around. Now's the time, as I've always said. I mean, a national approach to this is the most optimal approach because we obviously want all the best horses at the best meetings competing against for the ultimate prize. We want the best against the best. So how do we now go on from here? Let's let this year play out. Now we're a year-long calendar, 1 January to 31 December. What does it look like going forward? How can we interface all these things so they line up together and we get an ultimate outcome, sort of a pinnacle, if you like, of these types of meetings? So it's really something for a national perspective and also the locals working together to see how we can make that occur.
And looking forward to 12 months' time, right now, well, tomorrow night, Saturday night, sorry, is the first night of the Inter Dominion in Sydney. It was going to be held in Melbourne this year, but that was put on hold, obviously. 12 months' time, we're preparing for an Inter Dominion series, which, if the Breeders' Crown and Vic Bred hold their dates, will be right in between them.
That's right. This is the challenge will be next year is with the Inter Dom is a very critical part of our calendar, and we must give it the due deference that it needs, and we must make sure that we highlight it. We're starting our planning phase this week with our Inter Dom committee for 22. We will be right in the middle of Breeders' Crown, and then we go into Vic Bred Super Series. Now, if we look at the calendar from that perspective, you've got the 2 and 3 year olds and the Vic Bred and the 4 year olds. So the 4 year olds will probably be the issue, but certainly I think we welcome that we do a review after this period and look at what the ultimate and optimate outcome is for our calendar. But certainly looking forward to having the Inter Dom in 22. It was moved. We lost it to 21 to give New South Wales that year to come out of COVID. It was the right thing to do. New South Wales has got it now. We'll have it next year. And we'll ensure we give it all the appropriate planning and make sure we spotlight this as it should be and give it the highlight that it needs at the back end of next year.
I sent some feelers out the other day talking about, and from the traditionalist point of view, they're not going to be happy with the statement that I'm about to make. And the question that I'll ask you, Dale, is that do you think it's time that we have to have a look at the 3 runs per week type of structure in the Inter Dominion to get the better horses there? I've got no doubt you would have got better trotters there if you only had 2 heats. Just take one heat away. They're a different breed. They're a different breed these days. And I think 3 runs is just too much for them in 1 week. Maybe if you had just had 2, I think you would get better horses coming for the Inter Dominion.
Do you know what's always, I've always taken my lead off, is that anything we've done in the last 2 years is talk to the industry. And they know better than anyone. You get the trainers in the room who have got these good horses or the ones that aspire to have a good horse. And you have a discussion, you get the insight as to what would work and what doesn't work. And a lot of the calendar we've done now has been in collaboration with the industry. That's why you see the people buy into it, because they're part of that decision-making process. And I think it wouldn't hurt for IDEC or whatever body is appropriate, or HRA, to have that conversation post 21 and just see, is the format right? What would you like to see? I mean, because in racing, contemporary times mean different things, and people look for different things, and people train a different way. They bring their training schedules are different. They set their horses for different things. So is there a question to be discussed around, is 3 or 2 optimum? Is 3 or 2? What is it? So you're right, Gareth. I think it's just a conversation. I think a conversation with people who love the Inter Dominion, who invest in it, who bring their horses to it. And the industry's been around it for a long time. So it's just time to have those conversations, I think.
And crowds are coming back, which is exciting. It's from tonight that
Yes.
The participants and the owners and all that can mingle together, which is terrific.
Yeah, it is terrific, Gareth. So, Gareth, it's tonight, fully vaccinated, everyone has to be by midnight. We can open up as of tomorrow. We're back to normal. You can come down and patch your horse. The kids can come along. The pony trots will be back on soon. We're just ready to go again, and I'm looking forward to it. We won't have the restrictions we've been in, had involved in the last number of months. I know it's been frustrating for people. I know, Racing Victoria came out early last week, but they were in front of us. They created their own rules. Yeah. Effectively, if we had tried to, well, we couldn't anyway, because we were following the government restrictions and the directions on the authorised worker scheme. And if we had brought the bubble, taken the bubble off, say, for Breeders' Crown, there was a potential that we weren't at 98% of our industry participants who were fully vaccinated. They were still they were legally in the position to only have one. Yeah. So we would have been in a position, if we had have said, well, no participant bubble, and then allow crowds or people to come down and pat their horse, be saying to the participants, well, I'm sorry, I know we gave you the 26, but because we're allowing participants to come, sorry, allowing people to come down and pat their horses or talk to the participants, their owners, you can't come in because you're not fully vaccinated. I didn't want that unfairness to come by bringing it forward. And we couldn't anyway, but as a hypothetical, that's why we weren't as advanced as Racing Victoria. So as of tonight, we're back on and we're back open.
Look out, Dale. We covered a lot of ground there. We appreciate your time as always here on RSN Central.
No, thanks, Gareth. Thanks, Dan. I hope that's been informative for the audience and look forward to talking to you again.
There we go. There's the CEO of Harness Racing Victoria, Dale Brown. So that's the story at Shepherd and Dan Malecki. It's another really good weekend of harness racing. Melton will be the highlight, of course, and for Victorians anyway. And the Westburn Grant Free for All is the feature event. Pacifico Dream at $3.40, the market leader as we speak. Spellbound $6, Demon Delight at $5, and Somewhere Secret at $4.60. And Better Be the Bombs at a big price at $13.
Yeah, well, he was last week when we mentioned him, and he started about half that price. A lot of depth there, isn't it? It's a good, even free-for-all, I think. I don't even know who's favourite at the moment, but it'll be a difficult one for the assessors to come up with. But what a great horse Westburn Grant was. He's one of the greatest horses I've seen. You know, I might put one or two above him, but he's in my top 10. He won every race, every feature race from here and across the ditch. He was a Group 1 winner as well. Derby, multiple Derby winner, went over to Perth and won. He won in every mainland state at Group 1 level. And, of course, he won an Inter-Dominion in 1992 at Moonee Valley, which is, and, of course, with the Inter-Dominion being on, starting on Saturday night, it makes sense that he's honoured with a free-for-all at Melton. And probably the toughest race of the night. I don't know who I'm going to tip in that.
And you've got Encipher backing up after a Breeders' Crown success there on Saturday night at Globe Derby for a heat of the Southern Cross. There, Mark Billinger takes over the reins there. So when Cypher goes around, and even Runaway Celebrity's on the quick backup. So Emma Stewart is set to continue her domination of juvenile racing around the country. You'd be a little stiff, wouldn't she? You'd think the week after you win the Breeders' Crown, you think, oh, surely Cypher won't head to Adelaide, but she is.
Yeah, well, on her performance last week, it's a matter of seeing how they back up from their wins, and she was terrific. So she's won over there before, and she can obviously do it again. And speaking of which, the effort of Kate Gath to win three Group 1 races, all drawn the back line. Two of them wore Saddlecloth 13. Kate's a special guest on Cracking the Code Saturday morning, and she's got a love for long-distance running, and she's heading towards the Melbourne Marathon and on the 12th of December, and we have a good chat to Kate about that, and also Simon Wild's going to join us for Cracking the Codes that Saturday morning at 6 a.m. But Emma Stewart's performance to win six races last Saturday night, four at Group 1 level. I know they have a lot of horses that go there on the night, but it shows you how hard it is. They only had one runner in the boys' two-year-old final. They dominated with the fillies with nine in it. It's hard work, and a lot of their year relies on success on that night. And I thought they did a wonderful job.
Now, well done to Clayton and Emma. They are wonderful trainers, especially with their juvenile paces. I don't think I've seen any better in my time than Emma Stewart and Clayton Tonkin. King of Swing $1.25. He should be winning his heat. I think that Expensive Ego at $1.65 will be mighty hard to beat. Spirit of St. Louis will be too strong. I think he can back Mari Law the place in the first heat of the Trotters in Dominion, and even Aldebaran Crescent the place at $3. Those will that will be my all up come Saturday night, Dan, at Menangle.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to take your lead there. Tell you one thing I was just a little bit disappointed with, and you can put me back into place here. Why is the last race of the night an Inter Dominion heat for the Trotters at 10:52? I just would have thought that, to end the program on a Trotters heat, it sounds impressive, but at that time of night, I don't know if you'd have your biggest audience.
I think it's because the Inter Dominion heats are shown on Sky Thoroughbred Central. And they had to start those heats.
So people stay up later watching that channel, do they?
Okay, I think they had to start those heats after Perth had finished their winter bottom meeting. Otherwise, you would have been too congested there, Daniel.
Okay, well, that's all right. I can accept that
you're saying that harness race in Victoria had the Australasia's best mare in the last race at 11 o'clock the last two Saturdays. You didn't mention
it was a group two when there was eight group ones before it, though. With all due respect, I'm not blaming them for that.
She's a better race than the group ones.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And probably that heat. That's all right. I'm accepting of your explanation. Okay. I actually am rather impressed with that explanation. the series itself, though, it's down on quality.
It is.
There's no doubt about that. And that's the thing that has been a recurring theme in the Inter Dominion over the last few years, is the lack of depth in these series. So, look, I know it's a simple thing to say. It needs an overhaul. It needs something done about it. It's losing its luster, and it needs to change. And I don't know what has to be done about it, but it's supposed to showcase the very best horses in harness racing, both pacers and trotters, and I don't think it's doing that to its full capacity.
It's pretty easy, Dan. You need Harness Racing Australia to get the states to come together, but they don't want to really participate and buy into the Inter Dominion. They're trying to organise a slot race, but good luck there, because they all want the slot race to be held at their venue, and they won't agree on the funding. So you need, for Harness Racing Australia and the states to come together, or you need one of the states to say, okay, then, I know that they've got a Hunter Cup or a Miracle Mile, but the Inter Dominion is going to be our number one race. We will have it. And you need to increase the prize money, so it can't be worth $500,000. And you can't have those heats running for that amount of prize money and expect horses to travel from different parts of the country or New Zealand to compete for that. So you need to increase the prize money quickly. And I think you need to seriously think about just having two heats and a final for mine. I don't think three heats work for mine. I wish they did, but I don't think they do in today's world.
When the depth of top-class horses are there, I think the three heats, you want to see the top-class horses. No West Australian representative, lack of New Zealand representation, potentially not even the best Victorian horses are there. So that needs to change. And that's echoing the Trotters Inter Dominion. Plenty of trainers have withdrawn their horses in the lead-up. And you can't blame COVID forever. In fact, it's too easy to use that as an excuse.
I'm not even saying that was the excuse. For Western Australia,
look,
you can.
To a degree, but you want those horses there, don't you? They've got enough top-class horses.
They're not going to come there. They can't get back into their state, Dan. So it's no degree there. It's 100% that you would have had WA representation if they could get back to go and compete in their other carnival. That's why there's no WA.
And the other thing is it the right time of the year, December? When I was growing up, it used to always be around March. Didn't matter where it was held, it was always around March. So it's gone to a different time of the year. It's a very congested time of the year. WA have their harness racing carnival. We've got Breeders' Crown and Vicbred. The Sydney Cup, I mean, the Miracle Mile used to always be the third Saturday or Friday or Saturday in November. You got the New Zealand Cup Carnival and the Auckland Cup Carnival. Is it not the right time of the year? I thought it fitted really well in March. Why doesn't it anymore? I mean, if those are some of the things contributing to why we haven't got the depth anymore, and remember, before COVID, there was a couple of Inter Dominions that didn't have the depth, so it's not just about COVID. So I wonder whether December really is the best time of the year for that series, because there's all these new races that have come along that weren't there previously, 2 years ago.
I think the best guy that we'll get was when Queensland hold the Inter Dominion. I reckon they'll have it in the middle of the year. So a little later on, maybe in June or a month like that before the Blacks are fake. Hey, Denny, it's a lot of fun. We've got to go.
It is fun.